to be able to speak at this beautiful sanctuary for the first time. And it's also my honor to preach on this pulpit in Pastor Keith's absence. And our church is also praying for Pastor Key and Mrs. Key, and also Grandpa Key, for his speedy recovery. And may the Lord continue to bless them and give them strength, especially for Grandpa Key's recovery. Now this morning, we are gathered here not only to worship our God, but we are also here to celebrate and remember one person for who has spent her entire life caring and giving herself to her children. We honor her because our God commands us to honor our parents. A person is our mother. If you have been blessed by a mother, you have enjoyed the greatest treasures and blessings that you can ever have in this world. This is why Abraham Lincoln, one of the presidents in the United States, said, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." A Spanish proverb also says, "An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest." I don't know exactly what that means. I'm sure it tells us that it's such a great blessing, spiritual blessings, to have a mother who cares for you, who sacrificed for you to raise you up. Someone else has said, "The instruction received a mother's need, together with the pious and sweet souvenir of the fireside, are never erased entirely from the soul. Indeed, no man is poor if he or she has a godly mother." Like the rest of you, I have one biological mother, but I also have many spiritual mothers, of whom many of you are present here today. And you have been praying for me and my family, supporting us in prayers. So I'd like to say thank you, and blessed Mother's Day to all of you. Sometimes I tell people that my wife has four children instead of three, counting myself included. You know, she is a motherly figure, a spiritual mother, and then she is sacrificing herself not only as my wife, but also as a mother, looking after not only my children, but also all of us. So I want to take this opportunity to honor all our mothers today by remembering and mentioning one woman who is probably one of the greatest mothers in the Bible, and her name is Jochebed. We as a church, as I said, honor our mothers because we are commanded to honor our parents, including our mother, of course. So I pray that before this service ends, or probably after the service, you want to say to your mother, if she is here, "Thank you. I love you, Mom. Blessed Mother's Day. And thank you for all you have done for me." Of course, not all of you whose mother are here, but you can still call her up. For me, normally I have to do this the day before the Mother's Day because Sunday is full on. So I normally call her last night And sometimes I will send her flowers from online store in Taiwan. Because I don't have the privilege to see my mother every year, like some of you, which is a great privilege. But I also want to say that today, although our message is about mothers, or honoring our mothers, the message is also for you. Because it is through our mothers and the love of our mothers we see God's love and Christ's love. It is the reason why He came to this earth and died for us on the cross. So if any of you here are still outside of God's kingdom, now I pray that by the end of this service that you will see God's love in our mother's love. And you will come to Him and place your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. For He has loved us so much. While we are yet sinners, He died for us. While we are still yet enemies, He died for us. Therefore today, as we look at this chapter or these few verses, I not only want to focus on this woman, Jochebed. I want to see the love of God that He has shown for us. So in verse 1, we read just now in Exodus chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi." Now I enjoyed the last Easter camp. I have the privilege to attend with some of our people from church. And personally, I've learned a lot from Brother Cohen, Paul Cohen. And I was intrigued of his Jewish heritage. So I asked him one question. I heard, Brother Paul, that being a Cohen, since the word Cohen means priest in Hebrew, people say that the Cohen family can be traced back all the way to the tribe of Levi. Is that true? And Brother Cohen looked at me and said, "Well, Brother David, not only that, our family can actually be traced back all the way to Aaron, the first high priest." And I was pleasantly surprised. So I asked him many more questions after that. You know, so I gave him no rest after that. Just keep asking him about lots and lots of questions. I was so excited to meet a person who is actually related to Levi and to Aaron. And he said to me that if he were to go to a synagogue today and identify himself as a Jewish Orthodox, which he's not, he's a Christian, and said, "I am from a Cohen family," he will get the privilege to pronounce sort of like a benediction, a blessing to the congregation. And it's only given that privilege to the Cohen family. So I find that fascinating. You see, like Brother Cohen, Jochebed was from the tribe of Levi. We know that she is also the mother of Aaron and Moses. She came from a godly lineage. And I'm sure that she and her husband were godly. They loved the Lord. They feared God. This is why they hid the male child, Moses, later named, for 3 months. Defying the authority, defying the commands of the king or Pharaoh. And as I've said at the beginning, all, if not most mothers are blessings to all of her children. But I must say that it is a tremendous blessing for a child who has a godly mother, who loves the Lord, who fears God, who is deeply devoted to God, and the impact that she can give to her children is beyond measure. So I'm not undermining the impact that a normal mother, a non-Christian mother, could give, but it will even be a greater blessing for a mother who knows the Lord, who has a personal relationship with God. Susanna Wesley, who is probably one of the most mentioned mothers of all time in the modern times. She was one of the 25 children born to a well-known Puritan pastor, Samuel Annesley. She was one of the 25 children. She married to a husband who has no gift of managing finance, so they're very, very poor. She gave birth, they have 19 children together, but unfortunately only 10 of them survived. So 9 of them did not survive even the infancy period. 2 of them became what we know, John and Charles Wesley, brought millions and millions of people to Christ. One of them was crippled. The other one could not even talk until almost 6 years of age. And Susanna almost had to raise all of her children by herself because the husband is normally away from home. And from young, coming from a godly heritage and lineage or background, she has promised to God that she will, for every hour that's spent for entertainment, she will give the equal amount of time to the reading of God's Word and in prayer. This is why she's made such an impact to her children. I will be reading some of the ways that she raised her children, and you may or may not agree with her styles or methods, but she has definitely done a good job. Now, this is what she did, and in regard to how she raised her children. First of all, she said, children will be taught to pray as soon as they could talk. And that's a good thing to start with. Teach them to pray. Number 2, children will not receive what they cry for, but only what they ask for politely. Now, I have applied this personally to my children. I'm not saying I have the most successful children here. But when they are crying, never give them anything until they could ask you politely. Number 3, to prevent lying, children will not be punished for what they have confessed or repented of. You see, you show the children the graciousness, the gracious side of God as you deal with your children. Children are looking at you and learning from you about God. And next one, the group behavior will be commended and rewarded. Number 6, any attempt to please, no matter how poorly performed, will be commended. So encourage them if they are trying to please the parents, no matter how poor the performance is. Encourage them, do not provoke your children in anger. No, it is hard. My parents are so hard to please, no matter what I do. Property rights will be preserved even in minute matters. And this is interesting. I have heard one parent many years ago to their children, you see, you don't own anything. You have to share. You see, nothing is of your own. You share everything. That sounds like communism here. Now, we do own something. Everybody owns something. But the point is that we need to share with other children and his or her sibling. So you own this thing, but you also share. So you'll be responsible to the upkeep and caring of this property. Okay, so it's not communism, but communionism. You know, this is the difference between the two. And the last one is very interesting. Children will be taught to fear the Lord from young. Now, this is from Susanna Wesley. Wonderful. And it, to my opinion, personal opinion, this is all pretty much biblically based. It is very good stuff here. By the way, you do not need to be Susanna Wesley. Nobody could. All right? You are you. But what you need to have is a personal relationship with the Lord and a desire to train your child in a way that he or she should go, so that what? When he or she is old, they will not depart from it. God is not asking you to be a perfect mom. So I want you to be encouraged here. So I'm not here to discourage any parents or mothers. You are great. You have been a blessing. All we need is a desire to train our child in a way that they should go, so that they will not depart from it. In fact, we have many of such great parents, great mothers here in our congregation, and I thank God for you. And you should thank your mother for that too. So we have seen that by faith, Jochebed raised her children in the way that they should go because she came from a godly heritage. And then again, you don't have to. All you need is to have a personal relationship with Christ and a desire to train them back in the way that God wants them to go. So that's the first point. Number two, because of the faith she hid Moses for 3 months. Back in Exodus 1, we read that Pharaoh, the new Pharaoh, wants all of the male children, Israelite children, dead. And then in chapter 1, we were told that there are two women, Shifra, the midwives, Shifra and Puah. They're great Christian names, by the way. I wonder why not many people name their children Shifra and Puah. You know, and my guess is that they also had children. And they were great mothers too, God-fearing mothers. And these are the two wives who spared the male Israelite children. Defying the authority, defying the commandments of the king. And in chapter 2, where someone who does exactly the same thing, Jochebed, who came in the scene in chapter 2, and in verse 2 says, Jochebed conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him and that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. What was the reason why she hid him or hid him for 3 months? The text seems to say that because she was a goodly child. The word goodly means that she is handsome. She's a proper child in the New Testament. Right? Anyone, any mother would have done the same. Right? Whether your child is handsome or not, we have hidden the child to protect and preserve the life of that baby. But that is not, I will say, mainly the reason why she did it. Hebrews 11:23 says, Moses' parents hid him by faith. In fact, I read to you Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. So it was because of faith she hid the child for 3 months. It was because of her faith she did that, not because simply that he was a goodly child, a handsome child. You see, Jochebed refused to give in to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, which represents the world, the system of this world, the belief of this world, and she refused to give in. What does that mean to us parents today? Does that mean that we should engage in civil disobedience. No, we obey the law so that the world may see us as good citizens, as good Christians, right? Yes. But it does tell us something. With regard to how we should raise our children, we are urged to do what's right in the eyes and sight of God, despite of the mounting pressure that we get from the world. I believe we are living in the perilous days, dangerous times, where the world is increasingly becoming more and more hostile against Christianity. Not more friendly, but more hostile. There might come a day that you and I would have to make a choice. There may come a day that you and I might face similar situations, not exactly the same situation that Jacob faced. And you have to make a choice. Either to defy the authority, hopefully not, and to raise and train your children in the way that they should go, or to allow them to be conformed to the standards of this world. There's only two options. As for Jochebed, she made the right choice. Her faith was so strong that she and her husband, again, was recorded and mentioned in Hebrews 11, what we call the Hall of Faith. Faithful people of God. And we need parents like that, who is willing to stand firm and strong to raise their children in the fear of the Lord. So we have seen that by faith, Jochebed raised her children in the way that they should go, so that when they grow old, they will not depart from that way. Secondly, we've seen by faith, Jochebed defied the world to preserve the life of a child, or the spiritual life of the child, as we would in today's context. Number three, with the same faith, she resisted the world. Number three, verse 3 says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dealt it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flanks by the river's bank. And by the way, the Hebrew word here for the ark, you guess that right, is the same word used to refer to Noah's ark. By faith, it's the same faith that Noah had, Jochebed hid the child in the ark, trusting and believing that he will preserve his remnant. And the ark is a symbol. And the ark is a type of Christ. Because only in him that we can have salvation. Because it's only in him one might be saved. There's nowhere else that you could go. Only in Christ, when you are with it, where in him, that you can be saved. While the world was crying out for the death of her son, but this mother stood against the world's will and put her child under the care of God's will. Seeing the child drifting far, farther and farther away from him in the river, that takes great faith. It takes greater faith for her to put the child in the basket than to hit her child 3 months. You know why? I've never been to Nile River myself. Some of you might have. Right? But those of you who have known the river better, they will tell you that they are dangerous animals creeping and rolling in the river. They are deadly spiders and crocodiles and all sorts of vicious and aggressive creatures living in the river. As you put the child in the basket and seeing Moses being drifted away, further and further away from you, what was she thinking? I said, oh, he'll be all right. It's a small stream, you know, just seeing her some nursery run, and he will be okay. No, he's not going to be okay unless he or she had great faith in God that God will look after the baby, and the baby will be saved and sound and be preserved, and someone will be able to pick him up and raise him up. Despite of the ties of the world, she resisted the world and commit her child in the hands of the Almighty God. You see, the world wants us to give up and to give in, to give up our right as parents to raise them up in the fear of the Lord. The world wants us to give in to the world, so that they can conform them according to their ways. I don't know about you, I've been reading some news in just in the past few months, and it amazes me, frankly shocks me. Now, there was a 52-year-old man from Canada who was also a father, who has now identified himself as a 6-year-old girl. Not 52-year-old woman, 6-year-old girl. So she's dressed like a little girl, 6-year-old, and she'll be playing with his or her soft toy, you know, and said, I am a little girl. There was also another man who recently won the International Weightlifting Championship women's title in Sydney, just back in March, and he was a man. Well, to say that he was a man, according to them, he was a woman, because he was a transgender woman, or man. I get a bit confused, which is which, you know? So, you know, you can see the photos, quite sarcastic. He won the title, and he was standing on the pedestal in all those steps, the first second place, and the third place. And the woman next to him was looking at him gradually and said, is this even a woman? You know, and he claimed the title. And there's transracial people as well. What do you mean by that, transracial? So there was a woman by the name of Rachel Dulles. I'm not sure you have read about this article or news. Now, she was born as a white. She looks like a white, but she had to paint herself black, as in doing something with her skin. And now she identifies herself as black. And she went on CNN, and the CNN anchor praised her effort and said, wow, and recognized her as a black woman. Now, nothing against white or black or whatever racial background you come from, but these are some of the things that the world is pushing at you and at your kids, right? And they will be repackaging, they will be redefining and promoting these kind of things across the board. In every facet of culture, you will find people promoting this. I don't know about you, I don't want the world to teach my children about gender issues. Gender or racial issues, marriage and relationship. No, definitely not. Instead of handing our children to the world, I believe we should take up the responsibility and the duty to impact our children. And you have, I thank God for you. And if it's one thing, then if you ask, what will be the one thing that we can give to our children which will impact them in their life to come and will have a lasting effect? That is, that they will see you, they will see Christ in you. Now, we all know of a song for that, right? We sang, they'll see Jesus in you. That is the one thing that you want to do. When your children is able, or your child is able to see Jesus in you, you have done well. You have done well. A story was told of a humble, concentrated pastor's young son had become very ill. After the boy had undergone a series of tests, the father was told of a shocking news that his boy would not survive in the next few weeks. This young man has accepted Christ in the earlier days, so the pastor knew that if his son was to go, he will be ushered into the eternity, and he does not worry about his salvation. He knew well that was the case. The only thing is that he wasn't sure how to break out the news to the young man that the doctor has only promised him that he only has only a few days to live. So after praying for many days, and he finally went to the hospital to see his son. And with a very heavy heart, as he walked across the aisle in the hospital, in the corridor, and finally arrived at the bedside of his son. And he asked his son this question: "Are you afraid to meet Jesus?" And the boy answered, "No, Dad, if he's like you." And then straight away, this pastor has assurance that, you know, this boy is not afraid of seeing Jesus to die, but at the same time, he's so encouraged to learn that his boy saw Jesus in him. I think that's the greatest thing that you can do for your children, if your children could see Jesus in you. I'm still working on it, by the way. Okay. To see Jesus in us as parents. So I've seen that by faith, Jochebed raised her children in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. And number two, we've seen that by faith, Jochebed defied the world to preserve the life of her son. And for us, that may be the spiritual life of your son or your daughter. Number three, we have also seen that by faith, Jochebed resisted the world by not handing her child to the indoctrination of the world. Lastly, by faith, she committed her child in God's care. Verse 3 also said, "And the basket was dubbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank." I mentioned just now, they are dangerous creatures in the River Nile. And it took greater faith for her to put her son in the basket than hiding her or hiding her 3 months. And what that symbolizes is this, that she had great faith in God, that his child is in the hand of God. That from now on, I'm going to commit my son to God's care. You see, my children are still small. The oldest is still 11 years old. But one day I know that they will have to leave the nest and fly away. But I have to learn something. One day I have to meet them in the hands of God, in God's care. I can't care for them as they grow older and older. Alright? So I have to trust God that He will look after them, that He will direct their ways. I have to do the groundwork though, to train them up in the ways that they should go, so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. I can do my job, but I also need to rest my faith in God, that God will look after them, that God will care for them, that God will meet their needs, wherever they go. So when your children or your child grow up, it doesn't mean that you just leave them alone. You continue to pray for them, even if they have gone wayward. There's a story of a little girl who comes from a very poor background in a small town. She went to a big city to support her mother. Soon after her arrival, she realized that as an attractive girl, she could earn more than doing a normal, decent job. Also, she recognizing her potential and her assets, she became all too successful. She pleased men, and soon she had all the money she wants, and all the jewelry, and a life of revelry. But her mother was soon forgotten. Years passed by. One day, she was stricken with remorse, and she said to herself, "I wonder what has happened to my mother." And straight away, the next day, the next morning, she took the first train back to her village, and she arrived back home at night, very, very late. To her amazement, she found the gate of her house opened, and the lamp in her mother's bedroom was burning in the way by the window. Just wondering what's going on. The lamp burning so late, mother normally went to bed so early. Why is the lamp still burning? She asked herself, and as she crossed the threshold, and a voice came to her and said, "John or Juan, is that you?" And she replied, "Yes, mother." And she said, or asked her mother, "How is it that the gate is wide open so late?" And the mother replied, "My dear, ever since you left, the gate was never closed." And she said, "And why was the lamp burning so late in your bedroom?" The mom replied, "Ever since you left, my dear, it has never been extinguished. I waited for you to come back." And she added, "My dear, you can be sure that when you desire to knock at the gate of heaven, you can be sure that the gate will be wide open for you." What is the moral of the story? The point is, when we say that one day we must give them up to be adults and let them fly out of the nest, it does not mean that we stop caring and praying for them. We continue to pray for them. We continue to remember them. We continue to hope and pray that they will be well. But even if they went wayward, we do not give up. We continue to pray for them that one day they will come back to the Lord. As for the rest of you who have done so well, we have to learn how to give them up to become adults as well. Give them up not in the sense that you stop caring for them, but they have to learn their own lessons. That's why I told my children as well. You know, the reason why you're getting this from that, whatever discipline or punishment that you get, it is all because we love you. We want you, as you grow up, one day as you leave your parents, that you will be on your own. Not so much that you will be on your own, so that you will be guided by the principles of God that we have taught you in the Bible. So we have seen that by faith, Jacob had raised her children in the way that they should go, so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. She also defied the world to preserve a child, a physical life. But for you and I, it could be the spiritual life. We also seen that by faith, Jacob and Ruth resisted the world by not handing her child to the world, to allow the world to conform them, but instead, she has done her responsibility and duty to teach and raise them. Lastly, we have seen that by faith, Jacob committed her son to the care of our Heavenly Father. And I hope if you are still outside of God's kingdom, by the love of God, And through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, that you will see that how much God has loved us. And you will come to Him. And you can see that from the love of the mother that they have given us, my friends. And I urge you to come to Him today. And once again, I say to all mothers, Blessed Mother's Day. And for all the children, make sure you say, I love you and thank you for what you have done for me. And continue to pray for your parents. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that thou wilt bless all our mothers today, for they have sacrificed much for their children and for the family. We pray that thou wilt not only bless the mothers, but also the children, O Lord, that they will be a blessing to their parents, not only the mothers, fathers included. We pray that you will continue to be with us. Bless our time as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Wang, for your message. Shall we continue our worship service with our tithes and offerings and open our hymnals to and